is the Tom Likas Show.
Chicks rarely develop their brains. They don't have to.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
No, you didn't.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 24-7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at tomeverywhere.com. That's tomeverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again, you and me, in a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And joining us now in studio to answer your legal questions, here he is, family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam!
Tom.
What's going on?
What's up?
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
I'm good. You know, Tom, I was going to say that I have an interesting thing to tell you, and this side shows this example that our side is winning, but I don't think the shows that our side is winning. I think the shows that our side has already won, okay? Seriously.
Really?
You'll appreciate this. So there's a conservative talk show host named Dennis Prager who started something called Prager University. And they show these...
Is that like Trump University?
It's interesting. It might be a cut above Trump University.
Really?
Yeah, Trump University looks like a fiasco any way you slice it. This is these videos on YouTube, and some of them are interesting. They talk about little historical explanations, things about, conservative thinking or whatever. Some of them aren't bad, but there's a really, really unique one that has just been released lately by a professor, Brad Wilcox, who's a sociologist at the University of Virginia, and it's called Be a Man, Get Married, okay? And in this video, he laments about the state of marriage today. And he basically talks, as I said, that we've already won. He talks about that marriage is in unbelievably spiraling decline. And he tries to sell the idea that actually marriage is a good thing and that it's really good for men because men take responsibility and they end up working harder and making more money and taking their focus off of their own pleasure and turning it towards family and so forth. And it's good for society. And what he doesn't talk about at all is any of the real rationale for why marriage is in incredible decline. Well, the one thing that he talks about is that millennials and young people today say, what's the big deal? It's just a piece of paper. But I think there's an absolute connection and correlation today of marriage being in, I think, decline leading to extinction because of what's happened exactly in my profession, which is in the divorce courts. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's crazy what happens and the way that men get treated and the way they get screwed out of their property and their children and everything else, that it's not a hard sell. It's becoming really an impossible sell. And what's happened on the internet, which is lovely, is that and this is something I don't think that has usually happened to any of the other videos from this set, this so-called university, is it spawned response videos. And there's a guy, Tom, you're going to love this name. His name is, he calls himself Turd Flinging Monkey. I thought you'd appreciate that. That's a good one, right?
I do like it.
He's got a lot of videos. And he debunks this Prager University video. It's just absolutely beautiful. And there are a few others good ones. There's a new word that's sort of getting into the vocabulary, which is cuck. I like this word very much, Tom. C-U-C-K.
And, as in cuckle.
Yes, exactly. These are the guys that are, still sort of advocating submissiveness towards women and, you know, doing what they want and not fighting back and, you know, manning up and all that nonsense about, you know, stepping up to the plate and being a man and all that. What that really is, more than anything, you know, correctly called, is shaming tactics. It's fascinating to watch, and I've seen a lot of these interviews on, like, the BBC and on other networks in the U.S. as well, where they're interviewing a guy. They always put a woman on it, and he's like a men's rights guy or whatever. He's a lawyer, you know, that advocates for men. And the interviewer says to him, you know, well, so, you know, why are you saying this about women or whatever? Aren't you a misogynist or whatever? You know, they try to shame him. They say, you know, you hate women, don't you? You know, why so tough about women? And, you know, usually these guys are very rational and they say, look, you know, here's the situation and men aren't being treated fairly. And the response to this, because there is no real way to debunk it logically, is the shaming tactic. And it's fascinating. And I think what's happened as a practical reality is that it just isn't really working. It just isn't. It's just not making sense anymore. And people are recognizing more and more what a fraud marriage is and what an absurdity the whole experience is in terms of having to deal with what happens in a marriage, the way a modern woman treats a man in a marriage, and then what's going to happen legally, personally, financially, and otherwise at the end of the marriage when you have to come to account in the family courts. And, you know, the whole message, it's not like getting it out matters anymore. It's very well out. And, you know, I talk to guys now on the phone who come from backgrounds, you know, religiously speaking, Muslim guys, religious Christian types, that say, you know, I have to get married, my family's telling me I have to. And even those guys are starting to break from that and think for themselves. I have a really fascinating picture. It's from the Nazi era, and it's a rally where Hitler was talking to the German people at this stadium. And all the people are putting that thing where they put their right hand and, like, you know, Heil to Hitler. And there's one guy, and it's really noticeable, who didn't do it. He's sitting with his hands crossed. And all the people around him are doing it, and he's just not doing it. And I think that that's fascinating. I think it's very, very hard to be that one person that breaks away. And I think that, you know, Tom, certainly you and other guys in the media and elsewhere have blazed the trail. Where, you know, you said, wait a minute, we don't have to do this. I don't have to do this. This doesn't make sense for me. And it's gone beyond just a question of preference. If you look at it, generally speaking, people see that it doesn't make sense. And the fascinating thing, which I think is just so stunning, I mean, when you talked about some of the experiences with, let's say, you know, a woman like my grandmother or a woman like my mother or whatever, you know, this idea that these good women, you know, don't exist anymore and you don't have a woman that would be loyal in that way that, you know, that your grandmother was or your mother was to their husbands. One of the things that's really interesting, you know, in terms of that is, you know, they say, this is kind of a military saying, that discretion is the better part of valor. One of the things that's so unbelievable today is that a woman will very openly complain about her husband to her friends and to family members and to even just people she doesn't know very well. And she's just going on and on about, you know, her husband's shortcomings and he doesn't make enough money and he's not smart enough and he's not good enough and all this kind of stuff. And this is something that is very much the opposite of how it once was. You know, there was an ethic at one time that a woman would conceal her husband's, you know, disappointments, let's say, or his shortcomings, things that she didn't like about him. That these were things that were to be protected, that were part of the relationship that she kept quiet. And she tried to, like, put a surface of suggesting that things were okay and she was happy and things were working out. And it would have been a very intimate thing for her to complain in some way about her husband. But if you look today, the second that your husband is out of the room, the woman is very quick to tell all her girlfriends, you know, all the bad things about him or whatever. And I think that that's probably one of the most disgusting aspects of it all. And some of the shows that we've had recently, Tom, you and I have talked about this, that even the things that were supposed to improve this and make this better in some way, like marrying a foreign woman or, you know, marrying a younger woman, these are kind of different things that you're supposed to do, really have, you know, no positive aspect or effect to think of. It all sort of comes out the same way in the end, no matter what you do. And if you look at now, where we're going to have this election coming up, one of the themes that I remember seeing so many times, particularly at the conventions, I remember seeing George Bush. It's not even the more recent one, but the father, you know, back in the day, who had been the vice president of Reagan, and he was running for president, and he was going on and on about family values and strengthening the American family. And I think that we're going to see a lot of that at the Republican and Democrat convention in terms of the Hillary Clinton and Trump or whatever, talking about family and the strength of family and all this. And you have to laugh at what an absurdity it is and how self-defeating it has been. And as long as the game goes the way it goes, where the social welfare system is, you know, made stronger and stronger and stronger and bigger part of the economy, and that's partially because women, you know, since they had the equality and the vote and everything, push for what they consider their agenda. Now, there's no reason from their point of view to have a family. You can have the government pay your way if you're a single mother. And then you have these strengthening of the domestic laws, the domestic violence and divorce, all edged and geared towards women and towards women always succeeding at them, no matter how ridiculous the situation is, and always coming out on top. And as long as guys are rational thinkers, see, that's the thing. And guys look at this and they look at the whole circumstance of what they want theoretically, which would be to have a wife who loves you and, you know, has a sex partner and someone who's taking care of you and the family. But when you look at it today, number one, your wife is not going to want to have sex with you. She's not going to consider that.
Guaranteed.
Yeah. I mean, that's the last thing on her mind. And she's not going to take care of the house. It's remarkable to look at personal ads. I know, Tom, you've always been the anthropologist looking at personal ads as the sort of the indicators of what's going on. Yeah. Isn't it something to see how many women in the personal section say, I don't cook, I don't clean, don't bother, you know, don't ask me. It's so great. I mean, they're
well,
proud.
There's also a lot of fat women looking for fit guys.
Yeah, of course.
There's also a lot of women who make $25,000 a year who won't date any guy who makes under $150,000.
Yeah, it has to be a multi-zillionaire.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You learn a lot going into those websites.
Well, the thing about it, obviously, you know, in terms of the guys, I don't think that, you know, they're being offered anything. And I think that women make a terrible mistake. You know, they think that they're, you know, like when you play cards, they think they have, you know, aces and kings, and actually they have twos and threes, you know. And they're saying to a guy, here I am, I'm not attractive, I don't know how to do anything, I'm not domestic, I have a shitty attitude, so I'm not even going to be like, you know, a loving partner. And meanwhile, you asshole, you've got to have money, and you've got to have a house, and it's got to be this many square feet, and we got to have kids right away, and you got to be doing whatever I tell you. And, you know, women are just absolutely unnerved that guys aren't taking this offer. And when I see this thing, that's why I mentioned it, this video from this sort of conservative thinking place, you know, this place of, you know, that kind of classical thought in America, and they're saying it so sincerely. It's so tragic. It shows you how out of touch the whole kind of university professorship type thing. I used to think that, you know, going to college and university was just a universal good. But a lot of people have been saying, you know, and I'm not talking Trump University, Tom. I'm talking about a real university. And I know you're a big education advocate. But there's a lot of guys. Well, I know, but there's a lot of guys that go in there and come out a lot stupider than when they started, you know. And you hear this professor from the University of Virginia, which is a good school, is speaking so earnestly about how important marriage is and how good marriage is, and you have to laugh. You have to say, like, well, this, you know, what are you talking about? Are you serious? Like, where'd you get this from? This is so, it's so retro, you know? It's so absurd. You know, he's saying how this man, he gives an example of a guy who was living in his parents' basement and working at some, you know, shitty part-time job or whatever. And this is supposed to be the modern, you know, kind of goofball young guy. This is the Japanese guy that, you know, doesn't want to, you know, go to work and go work for a company like he's supposed to, just lives in his parents' basement. And this guy apparently gets his wife, gets married, gets a wife, gets her pregnant right away, has kids when he's pretty young. And so he ends up joining the army and starting a military career and then advancing himself and eventually, you know, having a serious job and taking on a lot of responsibility. And, you know, this is supposed to be something that you listen to and it's supposed to sound good, that you should want to do that. But when you listen to the story, it sounds as it's going on more and more that he's essentially a slave. He was perfectly happy, you know, just doing his thing when he was young, and he took on all these responsibilities to fulfill this woman that he married and to live her dream and to have children because she wanted them. She doesn't seem to particularly be working. And here he joins the army. He's risking his life. He's doing all these things and supporting his family, which theoretically, once you've had a family, is a good thing to do, to support them and to do the right thing. But at the same time, it begs the question of why he had to do this all in the first place. You know, this whole taking on a responsibility doesn't seem to have been his dream or fulfilling anything he wanted to do. And it doesn't seem that it's made him any more happy than he was when he originally started and had a carefree life. And if you look at birth rates in the Western countries in particular, I mean, they are in downward spirals because societies have made all of this too costly. If you look at the different cities, the big cities, I saw a really interesting thing. It was talking about Vancouver, Canada, and San Francisco, USA, New York, and London. If you're a young guy and you marry a woman and you want to buy a house and start a life and start a family, you know, when our parents were young or our grandparents coming out of World War II, there was Levittown. There were these houses you could buy in the suburbs, very inexpensive, with a mortgage and everything, no big deal. Now, houses are incredibly expensive, incredibly scarce. And so a young couple starting out has every disincentive in terms of credit card debt, student loan debt. To buy a house, you know, a basic house in a nice place is, you know, $1 million house or whatever that you're going to be mortgaged. You're not going to have the money for the down payment unless your parents loan you money or whatever. It very much mitigates against these things that society claims to want. And apparently more and more people, as you see, men are waiting later than ever to get married. You know, it used to be 22 and 23. Now it's 29, 30, 31. And then there are a whole group of people, men and women, that are just, you know, opting against it completely. And the societies eventually, particularly in Western Europe, are going to actually disappear because they don't have birth rates that make sense in terms of sustaining themselves. And one of the reasons that they show that the Chancellor of Germany, Angela Merkel, is taking in so many people from Africa and Syria and elsewhere is because Germany is not having any babies. So she believes that this is the way that she's going to bring in people to sustain the population of her country and ultimately of Europe. And that's not really going to work. It's a really crazy approach. But when you look at society, and this is the great thing about generally capitalism, is that people do function in terms of incentives. And the government can do all kinds of things to try to force you to do things. But if you look at how you are rewarded and punished in society, that's what's going to follow. If behaviors are made to be difficult and unpleasant, there's going to be less of them. And so that is marriage right there. And if guys are looking at their older brothers and their fathers and their grandfathers and men in the neighborhood who have lost everything, celebrities that have gotten screwed, all this kind of stuff, I mean, you have a generation of young men right now looking at the Johnny Depp thing and saying, you know, wait a minute, he's so rich and so successful and has, you know, the money for good lawyers, and look how he's getting screwed. I don't want that. I don't need that for myself. That doesn't make sense. And when I talk to guys that have potential, or guys that are professional guys that are young guys or whatever, and you know, they're thinking of getting married, there's a rational talk that you can have that concludes 100% that it doesn't make sense to do it. It just is not a good idea. And this is something that is permeating society now. We're watching it. We're in the midst of it. We're actually seeing the revolution. And I think that if you watch this video, and I posted on my Facebook, as I mentioned from this Prager University, I think you can fall on the floor laughing, watching it, to see how particularly the conservatives are totally blown away by what's happening in society. They're intelligent enough to acknowledge it, and they say, yes, marriage is disappearing. And then they're saying how lamentable it is. They're so upset. They're so disappointed. They're saying, well, why are you guys doing this? You know, they can't explain it, and yet it's built into itself. It's explained in the actual narrative of the reasons that guys don't, because it's such a crap deal, and it makes no sense. And that is something that is just evident, particularly the young people who obviously are the future and are just not falling for it anymore. And so we're going to have a very different society. I think that 20 years from now, they're going to talk about this, and they're going to, you know, be our age and young people today, and they're going to say, well, of course we didn't. Why would we have? How stupid it was, you know? I have no regrets. I mean, you know, I understand that, you know, historically it was a good thing, you know, at one time, but it was absolutely undermined and turned into a completely ridiculous, unnecessary institution that was only destructive, and so I didn't want any part of it. And that's where we are. And Tom, I got to give you credit. You were on the forefront.
Oh, yeah. I've been at this since the 90s.
But you didn't think it would have this much effect. I mean, this is a worldwide phenomenon, Tom. Seriously.
Well, it is, and it appears to be. This is the bizarre thing. It appears to be in English-speaking countries and other primarily Caucasian countries. It's a Caucasian phenomenon. I don't really know why that is, but it appears to be the case.
I got to tell you, Tom, that's true. But if you look even beyond that, as I said, I get calls from guys that are Muslim. Certainly Hispanics, I think, have a lot of cultural pressure, but they're not falling for it either. And I talk to Hispanic guys now that tell me, you know, the dumbest stuff. They got their girlfriend pregnant or whatever, and they say to me, well, I ain't going to marry her. No way. You know, I'm not falling for that. My parents told me I have to, but I'm not going to. You know?
Right.
I mean, parents used to be able to exert that kind of social pressure in the context, you know, of certain, you know, types of people and so forth, that your parents would say, well, she's pregnant, you've got to marry her. And the guys are just saying, I don't care. You know, whatever destructive thing it was, having a baby or whatever, out of wedlock, I don't give a crap. I'm not going to marry her because I'm not going to be a woman's slave in that way. And, you know, when I see that thing, it's hard to even deal with. You remember you used to say, Tom, that you'd be at some kind of a get together with your wife or your girlfriend, and it'd be like the cackling hens in a room, and you'd walk in and all of a sudden they'd all shut up and look at you, you know? Right?
Yeah.
Well,
right,
who do you think they were talking about? And do you think she was complimenting you? I mean, seriously. I mean, here she is with her best friends talking about how inadequate you are. And I mean, you know, considering you're making her dreams come true with kids and a life and a picket fence and all that, and you're paying the mortgage, you're paying all her expenses, you're doing all this for her, you know, to be honest, why would you want to put up with that? Why would you want to put up with someone fundamentally that hates you, that's being a real critic, a really cruel, indecent critic, and insulting everything about you? I think the guys have realized that that's just a shit deal, and they're not going to fall for it. That's it. That's where we are today.
Well, I'm thankful that we are, as guys, finally starting to notice that. I do know the number of marriages is going down. The number of divorces is going down primarily because the number of marriages is going down. The age at which men first get married is getting higher and higher. Last I looked, it was up to 28 years old as an average.
Yeah.
It had once been 22.
Right.
And by the way, the declining birth rate.
Right.
In primarily Caucasian countries, that is continuing to decline. And I do think a lot of guys are finally realizing what a bad deal marriage is for us.
And that's a social crisis, Tom.
I don't think so.
Well,
the social crisis was when guys kept getting married and expecting to get something that they were not going to get.
Well, I think they figured it out. And so, Tom, I'm going to go on the record today that Hillary Clinton is never going to be the president.
Really?
That's right.
And so you're saying Trump will beat Hillary Clinton?
I'm afraid so, yes. I think that we face...
Mikey?
You got
flag
this. You're going to flag this, Mike? You're going to play this back for me someday?
Probably November 9th is when we're going to play it.
I got to tell you, I think he's crazy. I grew up in New York, and I got quite a few spoonfuls of the guy, and I know who he is. And this is definitely one of those years, as they say, that it's the choice between two shit choices. But I think that she's even worse. And she, if anything, as president, will take us even further down this spiral. If you've seen her on TV, she's talking about the wage gap.
I would rather have the gals out there complaining about jokes on campus than to have our president having flame wars with Kim Jong-un.
Foreign leaders, huh?
and Vladimir Putin, okay?
Now, as long as they do it on...
That's the choice.
If they're flaming each other on Twitter, I don't care. As long as they're not pushing any missiles against each other.
What was that movie called?
Which one?
The Interview. You see that movie?
Yeah, of course.
If that's what you prefer... That's what you're going to get.
Well, I think they took that a little too seriously, didn't they? Like, crash all the servers of the studio or whatever?
Well,
to get even, I think.
That was just a movie. Imagine if our president is actively trying to get the president of North Korea assassinated.
Well, I think presidents have engaged in
which
all sorts of...
Which he has publicly advocated already.
If I recall, the presidents and the intelligence agencies of the United States have done all sorts of assassinations over the years.
Whatever they've done, they have not sent their announcement on Twitter, okay?
Right, I agree with that. That's not the place for it.
You didn't see John F. Kennedy saying, Bay of Pigs, we're coming for you, Castro. Fuck you. Hashtag fail. You did not see that.
Leaving the personalities aside...
It's all about the personality.
I understand. I think that when you look at this settled thing, which is the wage gap, which Dr. Farrell, who I know you had on the show a few times.
I agree with you and
hear,
Dr. Farrell.
I know, but hold on, Tom.
I'm saying that's better than having the president playing with the nuclear codes.
I understand. I'm telling you that considering the decline of marriage and the decline of this whole social structure, to have a president who's going to be yakking about women's rights all day long, talking about this nonsense of this wage gap that doesn't exist, all this university microaggressions against women, which are all nonsense, women's rights, and we have to strengthen the domestic violence laws, when you see that domestic violence is 50-50. And in fact, did you see Amber Heard, that's Johnny Depp's ex-wife-to-be, was beating the crap out of her lesbian partner? Lesbians have the most violent domestic violence relationships of all. And here we have to listen all day long about how men suck. I can't imagine having this moron in the White House talking about it 24/7. And I'm talking about Hillary Clinton. And I don't think that men are going to vote for her. I just don't. I think this is going to be the revenge of the white males or something.
We do need to take a break because we do have calls.
Thank you, Tom.
And I'm sure you'd like to talk to those callers.
Can't wait.
Okay. It's family law attorney Adam Sachs. It's your phone calls. Free legal advice for you, and all you have to do is call this number. 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That's the number, by the way, Adam. Our first caller is going to be a woman.
All right.
901, there we go, 901-3000-866.
The entire Tom Likas experience in your pants.
Get the app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. The bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. With family law attorney Adam Sachs. And your questions and comments, 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. 901-3000-TOM. Call now to talk to Adam. 901-3000-866. Now, our first caller called in yesterday. And it was above my pay grade, what our caller was asking. And I suggested that she call back when we had an expert in
all
the
right.
studio. And that's you.
Thank you.
So this is Roz in Indianapolis. Hi again, Roz.
Hey, Tom. How are you this evening?
Hi, Roz.
I'm doing great. Now, you see, we've got somebody who knows this stuff. This is our expert in family law. Now, your problem, if I'm recalling correctly, you're getting divorced. I think you're pretty happy about it. But one thing you're not happy about is that in the deal, you didn't have a prenup, and your husband is walking away with half of your 401k. Tell Adam the story.
He is, and thank God he didn't. He can't. Well, can he go back before I say this? Can he go back in and ask for half of my pension too? Because he didn't ask for that, so I better not gloat too much about that. But yes,
right.
He is entitled, according to the state of Indiana. He's entitled to 50% of the balance of the 401 during the divorce. So what I was asking Tom yesterday, Adam, was, I have this qualified domestic relations order, and I've got two ways of doing it. I was ordered, you know, to pay him this money, so I have two ways of doing it. One way is doing it myself through the administrator, the plan administrator, or I can go through the lawyer to do it. But I was telling Tom I'd already paid this excessive amount of money to get this divorce, and I was trying to do this the most inexpensive way.
Right. It's amazing, right? I mean, one of the things that's always amazed me is that women really want to get married. Women push for getting married. And I think women have been programmed and have some sense that marriage is really good for them and it's going to give them stability and so forth. And it's not true. As you can see, marriage isn't good for men or women anymore. And in your circumstance, you know, something that people don't usually talk about, a lot of women get screwed in divorce and end up in hurting themselves financially. And to put money aside for retirement into a 401k and so forth and a pension plan is, you know, kind of a sacred thing. You're sort of planning for when you're old. And here you have your spouse divorcing you and demanding half of it. And what you're talking about, the qualified domestic relations, or it's called a quadro, that's something, I don't know exactly how they do it in Indiana, but it's pretty much the same idea as here in my experience in California. There are actually lawyers who specialize in doing that, which is splitting up the 401k. And that's probably the least expensive way to go. There are a couple of lawyers who are known to do it here in California that do it for pretty reasonable prices. But, I mean, just hypothetically speaking about this, isn't it sickening for you? Isn't it disgusting to have to do that?
Yeah, and I was telling Tom yesterday, I was the divorce has been final for almost 2 years, and I'm kind of dragging my feet about it.
Right.
I just don't want to do it, even though I know I'm really supposed to do it.
Right.
But yes, it is.
I mean, when you look at, you know, having worked hard, and I don't know exactly who your husband was or what his situation was, you know, and obviously it seems like you had more money than him when it was said and done. You know, he comes in and, you know, it's right, technically. We've seen a lot of cases where the woman walks away with a bundle of money from the husband.
Mm-hmm.
But as you see, it can go the other way also, depending on different circumstances. And it's so sickening when I see this and I see these checks going back and forth where, you know, a case of a hypothetical woman who didn't work and stayed home and never got her act together and the husband who was making bank and now he's got to write a check to her for, you know, hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars. It's so bizarre. It seems so irrational and unfair. And you see how it goes the other way. I mean, seriously, as a woman, I you know, you got to tell me the truth here. I've gone on dates with women, you know, two or three dates, and they're already asking, "Are we going to get married? You know, when can we set?" why do you want to get married? Don't you regret it now? Wasn't I don't just mean because you got divorced, but don't you see the absurdity of the whole thing?
I really honestly do. I truly honestly do. It was me. I was the one that I wanted to get married.
Right.
And I did.
I never would have guessed.
Hoopla. Yeah.
What was it? You wanted a big wedding? You wanted a diamond ring? I mean, what was the attraction?
No, I'm kind of like the exception to the rule a little bit. You know, I'm not the norm of what Tom says, so I don't, you know, really want all of that. And it was a moderate wedding. It wasn't anything lavish, expensive. It was just I'm just a home style type of person. You know, I'm with one person, and that's the one person that I'm with, and I like to be particular and partners, and I like to be just one way. I don't like the variation. So that was my reason for getting married. As I look back and look at myself 20 some odd years ago, that's just who I was and who I am today.
Right. I really understand. So listen, to be honest with you, in terms of the straight advice, if I were you, 2 years running, you should get it over with. It's not going to get any better. Pay for the Quadro. It's not that much usually, less than $1,000 or so. And just take what you got and move on and forget about it. And just consider what you've lost, you know, put that down to experience. It's a tragedy when you talk to people that are, you know, let's say, I don't know exactly your age, but people that are towards the end of their career and the end of their working life, giving up half of their retirement is really sad. It's like they work so hard to be responsible, and it's sort of like this person swoops in and takes half of your hard work. And, you know, what was their contribution? You know, just having sex with you? I mean, it's ridiculous. And
I'm 45, almost 46, so I still think I can kind of recuperate in the next 20 some odd years.
Think about if you were, how would you feel if you were, if you were 60, you know?
A lot more
tragic.
Probably even saltier than I am right now, but
right.
I guess it is what it is.
And tell the girls, right? Should they be pushing for marriage? Come on, please.
No, do not. Not do it, please.
I mean,
I was 24-ish, 24, 25,
right.
And I thought I was ready, but, yeah, wait, like Tom says, until you're at least 30, 29, 28, 29, right. 30-ish.
I think that even if you ask Tom, I think you shouldn't do it at all. 30 is the minimum,
true.
I agree, but I don't see how it works. It doesn't make sense for anyone.
And what's unless you're looking to suck wealth out of a guy, what's the benefit to getting married? What is it?
And that's not exactly a good reason either, to be honest. I mean, do you really want to be a whore, you know, marrying some guy so you can suck his wealth? That's disgusting. And if you think about the reality of it, and this is why I mention it to you, you know, it hurts me, and I know it hurts Tom, to get shamed, as it were, that we're misogynists and anti-female. But I'm equal about this. I think it's bad for women, too, generally speaking. I don't recommend getting married. I think you got to be out of your mind. And you're a prime example of that. And I'm really sorry. You know, here's my advice, right? Take it, you know, take it in the ass, essentially, and lose half your pension. But what can you do? That's sad. That's bad advice to have to give. I'd rather you didn't get married and you just kept what was yours, for God's sake, what you worked hard for.
But it is what the state of Indiana says. So
yeah, but how's that controversial, you know?
Exactly.
Well, thanks.
But it was actually something that my new partner is, you know, telling me just do it, get it over with. And
right.
I'm, you know, just dragging my feet, trying to move on. But I do need to close that chapter and just get on with it.
I agree. Ay,
you're not going to get married again to him, are you?
No.
He listens to you, Tom, so I'm quite sure no.
Okay.
I'm quite
atta
sure
girl.
No.
All right. There you go. Got someone rational out there.
You guys have a wonderful evening, Adam, and I thank you for your advice.
Of course.
You were wonderful. Both of you were wonderful.
Thank you. All right.
He's hollering. Thanks, Dad.
I love
it.
All right.
That's a baby. Have a good evening, guys.
Take care.
You too, Roz. Good luck. Wow.
See you, Tom.
All right, we'll take a break here. We got more calls coming up, but also when we come back, we'll tell people how to get in touch with you, Adam.
All right.
Talk to you directly. All right. It's Adam Sachs. It's a bonus hour. It's 901-3000-TOM. That's our number here. 901-3000-TOM. Okay, let's go with Adam here, 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM.
101-3000 Tom.
This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. It's the bonus hour with family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free, 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check me out on Facebook and also on the web at www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me email, which I love, and I answer personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right. We continue with Adam Sachs at 901-3000. Tom, JD is in Carteret, New Jersey on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Good evening, Tom. How are you doing?
Hi, JD.
Adam? Hey, JD, what's up?
I'm doing great. I just want to thank you, first of all, Adam, for all the great knowledge that you share with Tom's listeners.
For sure. You calling from New Jersey?
Yes, I am. However,
I used to live in New Jersey. I lived in Marlboro, New Jersey, and I went to Monmouth High School.
Monmouth County. I used to work in Middletown, right around the corner.
Far out.
Yeah.
So you have a California story for me?
Yeah, my brother. He got married to a psycho a few years ago.
How unusual.
He had a child. Yeah, exactly.
Of course.
So he got married. He was in the Navy. She cheated on him while he was at sea and everything. But they had their child together. They finally got divorced maybe 5 years back. And he finally has him coming over about every other weekend from Friday night through Saturday midday. About a month ago, he told me that he's wearing, when he comes over, a GPS watch or something so that she can track him.
Oh, my God. Now, I told you the new word. That's a cuck. I mean,
yeah.
Seriously.
So
she's one of these insanely jealous chicks, and so to calm her down, he wears a GPS so she can track his movements?
She's tracking the son's movements.
Oh.
While he's visiting with his dad, which is my brother.
That is really, really twisted.
So my question to you is it legal? That does he have to wear that all the time that they're together, or can he just take it off?
I would say he can take it off, but I think that's the least of your brother's problems, don't you think?
Well,
I mean, I feel for the kid. His mother's obviously completely insane. And,
right. Well, it's not just him. It's like if he takes it off, then she calls up and says, oh, where is he? What's he doing?
Oh, God.
I'm telling you, she is a nut. And it was one of those deals where he asked everybody, this is 2005 now, should I marry this girl?
Oh.
Everybody in the family said, no, don't do it.
So why did he ask?
You know,
what's the point?
I have no idea, but he went through with it, and it's been hell ever since. So, I just wanted to find out if that's legal or not. That was basically the gist of my call.
Well, I'd say that's pretty twisted. There's got to be something in their custody arrangement and so forth that when the kid is visiting with him, he's with him. And that would be, you know, mom's rules and dad's rules. So she may have him wearing the thing, but when the kid is with him, it's his rules to take it off. This is a big problem. They may have to go to court over it. But I think that this shows you that this woman is completely insane. She's some kind of crazy control freak. And it's
Here's the kicker. I'm sorry to step on you there, Adam, kicker is when my brother asked him, oh, do you wear this when you're at home? He said no.
Yeah, okay.
It's only when when he's with my brother.
Right. All right. Well, I mean, I think that is really sick. And the fact is, obviously, he went in knowing what he was doing. He was warned, obviously, right?
Many times.
The family was telling him, don't marry her. Everyone was, like, kind of pointing it out. I meet these women, in court many times with these guys, and I cannot believe. Some of them look so crazy. They have these, I hate to say it. It sounds, kind of like discriminational or something. But you talk about these women, and they have this look in their eyes that they're obviously so disturbed and so crazy. And, there's an old saying, crazy in the head, crazy in the bed. you know, maybe that's something. You know, there's a thing to that where, you know, she was like this amazing sex partner because she was so nutty. But I'm amazed how guys, you know, marry these women. Everyone's warning them. Everyone's telling them not to. They're oblivious. And then they, you know, have a baby with them, which is, you know, having a child with a crazy person. And then she's going to become 10 times more crazy when she's a mother. And you see, you know, she is going to torture this little child in terms of putting a GPS on him and all this kind of stuff. I mean, that is so twisted. And, you know, these guys are just setting themselves up. And your brother has very well set himself up for years and years of misery and trouble with this person. And that's going to be the story. He's going to have to cope with that somehow. And I hope he has a good lawyer and he just keeps on her in terms of the visitation. You know, she has no right to tell him what to do with the kid when the kid's with him. And hope for the best and try to keep the kid, you know, sane. I mean, I think it's going to be very hard for the child, especially a boy, to survive a mother like that. And you see how young people today have these crazy mothers and single mothers. I think that, you know, women's behavior today is much more unlimited and much more unhinged. I think that at one time, you know, maybe it was conservative in the 50s or whatever, but I think that women had certain parameters and they didn't go completely out of their minds nuts. And now all the moorings are gone, all the borders are gone, all the barriers are down, and so women just go absolutely fucking bonkers. And you see that behavior that she's doing, and no one's saying anything to her, so she just continues doing it and getting crazier and crazier. And if she's doing this when he's a little kid with the GPS, can you imagine what she's going to do when he's a teenager?
I have no idea, Adam. But,
you don't want to know.
I do want to thank you, though, for
sure.
Your advice, and I'm going to pass it along to my brother.
Tell him God bless, man, and just, you know, watch your back.
God bless you, too.
It's just another basic example, Tom, right there, of the same old, same old. And if guys want to have kids, I'm telling you, they should do it with surrogates. To do it with a woman who is then going to be your ex, who's then going to be doing crazy shit to your poor kid. Can you imagine a GPS on the kid when she's with the dad? Give me a break. Give me a break.
Wow. All right, Adam, once again, as before we go this hour, tell everybody where they can reach you.
Call me toll-free, 1-800-340-7320, and send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right. Now, of course, Adam is here every Tuesday for the bonus hour. And the next live appearance from Adam where you can call in and speak to him is going to be on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's news for guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Better believe it.
Bobby Brown says he fucked a ghost.
Come on.
Do I need to repeat it? Bobby Brown says he fucked a ghost. He says he bought a haunted house in Georgia.
Right.
And one night he woke up and there was a ghost mounting him. Fucked her. The ghost.
Yeah,
I don't know if there was any cocaine involved.
You stay awake for a few days, you see a lot of things.
Word is he also pulled turds out of Whitney Houston's ass.
He says I wasn't high, I was not tripping.
No,
his exact words were that.
Yeah. So there you go. You don't believe him?
I'm just really questioning the whole thing here. I am.
I mean, look, he's got a lot of stuff to talk about. You know, he's coming out for the first time, talking about his daughter's death. He's going to talk about Whitney. And then he throws in with the ghost fucker.
The ghost fucker. I could be worse. He could say goat, but at least he's saying ghost. Right.
This is unnerving. A sex offender accused of videotaping a child in Wrigley Field in the bathroom.
Come on.
Yeah. That's not cool if they're, like, poking around baseball games and stuff. And this guy is creepy.
Yeah, he is.
Nichols Gregor.
Yeah, I'm looking at him and seeing bad things.
Yeah. Hanging out in those baseball stadium bathrooms.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, man.
It's not good.
His parents neighbors, right, have called the police to complain about him videotaping children on a playground.
Right.
Wow. So, yeah, we may have a Houston, we may have a really big problem here.
Yeah, no, nobody's happy about that situation. German conservatives looking to call for a ban on sex workers that are pregnant, apparently. I mean, of course, this brings up a lot of questions. One of them is answered. Apparently, this is a thing that some guys dig.
Yeah, but, well, they like the fact that you can't get pregnant twice.
Right. Right. I think one of them lives in New Hampshire.
I have two questions, Tom. Have you ever tried?
Yeah. So, I guess there's, like, sort of a ban now, like, within 6 weeks of pregnancy, but they want to push, they will push it even further than that for the dignity of the woman and also the safety of the child.
Yeah. Because you can't be having a child get dick dents and no, that kind of
thing. No. That's a real thing. 39-year-old Cleveland mother arrested after her 12-year-old son dialed 911 from inside a car and told police that the mom was driving drunk.
Yeah, that's going to be an issue because Tanisha is she has two kids in there, and everybody was in the car, and the little boy called 911 and said, "Yeah, they were in a white car," and that's when the dispatcher and the little boy got disconnected. That's when they call him right back, and they don't fuck around. So, yeah.
My mom's really drunk is what he said. The children told officers that Robinson drank a lot of clear liquids while she was driving.
I'm going to guess vodka.
I'm going vodka on that.
It could be gin, but I'm going to say vodka.
Vodka makes a lot of sense. Plenty more news for guys.com. And, of course, you can find our podcast at GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
I've always liked those Pregos.